Yeah, we designed Macintosh really because we wanted one for ourselves and we couldn't get one. And Apple turned it into a product to turn the whole world on to what we've got. I think really Mac is a big extension of, you know, who we think we are and where we think we're going.
Demonstrating a Macintosh is the only way to do it. You've got to show somebody. I can't really describe it to you in words, but if I can get you to sit in front of it and play with it, you won't let go of it.
Hello! Welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I kept my usual very long hello a little short because we have a mega party episode this time around. We are joined by like 100 people. First and foremost of which, you all know him. Most of you quite like him. It's King Caney, Leander Caney. Welcome, Leander.
Hello, Erfan.
I'm going to try to remember everyone. We've got Buster Heine joining us. Buster.
Hey, guys.
We've got Alex Excelsior Heath here. Hey, Alex.
Hola.
We have got Adam Rosen from Cult of Mac. He's never been on. Welcome to the show for the first time, Adam.
Greetings, all.
And we are also joined by, you all know him, you've all listened to his podcast, Ken Ray from Mac OS Ken podcast, the daily Apple podcast I know a lot of you listen to. And Ken, you also said you had a new magazine out, right?
I have a new thing, yes, called iChart magazine, E-Y-E, iChart. It's daily as well. It's basically the same thing I'm doing on Mac OS Ken, but in word form.
In word form, awesome.
Yeah, so if people want to look at pictures or go back and reference or just have an easy way to get to the links or, you know, things like that. Comes out Monday through Friday, except on holidays or, you know, when I'm traveling. But, yeah, there it is. iChart Magazine. Free cool. Trial. Check it out. Thanks.
You are welcome.
That was 30 seconds or less, I believe.
Yeah,
I'm not
that
sure.
Was pretty good. Right. That was pretty fast, concise. I also want to thank Lynda for sponsoring the show. You can head on over to lynda.com. And you can learn a plethora of information at lynda.com. That's lynda.com/cultcast, by the way. If you've never used Lynda, it's one of the foremost sites that I personally go to when I want to learn how to use an application. If you want to learn how to use Photoshop, Lightroom, I mean, you name the application. They have over 2,000 online video courses that you can go learn from, all taught by industry-leading experts. And truly, when I want to learn an application, it's where I go to learn it because their videos are so fantastic. We're going to talk a little bit about them later in the show, but head on over there and start a free trial. Check out their videos. Guys, I thought we could start with some quick news stories, but I'm also excited because a little later in the show, Leander, we've been talking about this forever. We're going to give away some of your signed Jony Ive books, personally signed by you. We have 5 winners selected, and I might even read some of their comments because I don't know if you guys read through all the comments on the Facebook page, but some of them are pretty funny.
I didn't read through any of them. I just left that to you.
Jerk.
Just, you know,
jerk.
Figured you got that.
You're the guy. You just do it. You just do it.
There were quite a lot of comments, right? 120.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was a ton of entries. So thanks for everyone that headed over to facebook.com/theCultCast. And entered to win a copy of Leander's signed Jony Ive book. By the way, I just want to acknowledge the weird robot noise everyone's hearing. I think because we're having mega party episodes, Skype is on the verge of breaking on us. So we tried to dial it out, but we're just going to try and power through it as we do.
That actually might be just be my weird robot.
Are you part robot? Or do you have a robot?
I've got one here. I'm sorry. I really shouldn't brag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Is it like an Apple robot or a PC robot?
It's just a weird robot. I'm sorry I even mentioned it.
Okay, let's just move on. Let's talk about this crazy auction for Jony Ive products. Well, this one specifically for the Mac Pro. Buster, I think you wrote this article.
No, I had actually written that one.
Oh, you wrote that one. Adam?
Yes.
Nice. So let me talk to you about it then, because apparently, was it Sotheby's? Sotheby's? Is that how you pronounce it?
Sotheby's,
thank you. And they were selling some Jony Ive products over the last, what, three, four weeks?
No, it was a one-time auction for Red that he did with Mark Newson and Bono.
Were all those items that were sold all in one auction?
You'd be forgiven for doing that, though.
Yeah. I like how you laugh at me, and then you call them Bono. As in Cher's boyfriend.
He was with that one band, U2.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
They're great. So this Mac Pro was one that Johnny Ive customized for Product Red, as Buster told us, Bono's non-for-profit. And they were expecting to get, like, what, $60,000? What happened?
They're expecting to get $40,000 to $60,000, and virtually everything, at least the ones I read about, went for 10 to 15 times the expected auction amount, at least. It sold for $977,000.
My goodness.
That was my reaction. I mean, the title of the article was, yowza, which is a polite version of what I actually said when I read the news.
That's incredible. I was reading your piece also, and it looks like the rose gold Apple EarPods that they designed went for $461,000. They were expecting $25,000. The Leica digital camera they customized, which I saw a picture of, looked really beautiful, $1.8 million. And this is the crazy part. There was a desk, and I kid you not, it just looked like a metal desk. It was a metal desk.
Aluminum, yeah.
And it went for almost $1.7 million. I mean, it does look like it was liquid metal. Well, if you guys had $100 million, let's take the money out of the equation. Would you buy one of these products?
Well, it's for charity, isn't it? $100 million,
you could buy all of them.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, $1.8 million seems like a lot for a desk, but if you had $100 million, why not, right?
If I had $100 million, I would probably get the red Mac Pro.
That's probably what I would have gotten, too. And I would have put it on my red desk.
Earbuds. I would probably get the gold earbuds.
I actually would have gone for the desk, although, you know, no drawers, so maybe I would have tried to talk them down to $1.5
million. No drawers! I mean, it has nothing! It's like it's just like the most plain desk.
But that is actually, I mean, you know, you could argue that that is actually a piece of art. And with Johnny Ive's, you know, pedigree, I mean, one that might actually go up in value at some point. Mm-hmm. Your Mac Pro, cool as it looks, 3 years from now.
Is not even going to run their newest OS.
I can't run Fresno or whatever the California operating system will be at that point.
Oh, man, Compton doesn't boot up on this thing.
Compton.
But right now, whoever this person is that bought it is the only one in the world who's able to buy a Mac Pro today.
That's a great point.
And we don't know when we can. You know, the proletariat here, we have to wait for our black little trash cans.
That's right. I'm not going to buy a black one. Or if I do, I'm going to spray paint it red.
Do you think whoever it is calling AppleCare every day?
You would think that would come with a lifetime membership.
I'm having a problem with my Mac Pro. Yes, I have a Mac Pro, and I'm having problems with it. I'll call somebody else back.
It only plays U2 music. I'm not sure what to do about this.
The U2 edition.
Speaking of Apple products, Apple has also announced, or I guess posted a teaser for their one-day Black Friday sale. Buster, I think you wrote this piece.
Yeah.
And my question to you... Does anyone care about Apple's Black Friday sales?
No.
The discounts are so bad.
Yeah. And, I mean, Apple, it's just going to be, you know, free shipping if you buy something on the online store. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like they're going to give gift card promotions. There's probably not going to be a big cut on, like, iPads or anything like that.
When you say gift card promotions, you mean if you buy something, they're going to give you a gift card for like the iTunes store or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the App Store.
Yeah, you buy an iPhone and you'll get a Mac App Store gift card, you know.
You get Angry Birds.
Yeah.
What happened to the good old days when you got a free actual product?
Those days are gone, Darefon.
I know.
They got to give those products away.
Long gone.
Yeah, long, long gone. So if you want to save, I think, let's take a look at these prices here. I think you can save $10 on an iPod. That's pretty cool.
The list that I published was not the final list. That was actually from last year.
Oh, that was from last year. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because
these prices are pretty anemic. I mean,
expect something like that, yeah. But Apple still hasn't announced if they are going to have any prices. But $11 off a Magic Mouse, you know?
$11. I mean, truly, it's hard. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to promote those kinds of discounts. It's like $11 off, really?
But here's the thing is, like, Apple sells so many iPhones. They sell as many as they can make. So they really don't ever need to offer discounts on anything because they make everything as quick as, or sell everything as they can make it, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. They don't really ever give any discounts at all, so this is actually not bad.
The other thing is, I mean, it would put them sort of in the Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Costco realm of things, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if they did that. I mean, they offer some discount for people who are coming in, but they're not going to be doing the, you know, blowout.
Yeah.
We're opening 2 days before Thanksgiving and not closing until 3 days after Black Friday to get your money.
Yeah, it wouldn't really be their
style. They're
going
to get your money
huh?
anyway. No, it wouldn't.
That's true. I don't even think they're going to be open on Thanksgiving holiday, are they?
Not the actual day, right?
No, a couple stores will. A couple okay. of the big flagship ones, like the Fifth Avenue one. And
the ones that are always open 24/7 anyway.
But, mm-hmm. but right. yeah, like you'll be able to count them on two hands like throughout the country. It's not going to be that many.
By the way, happy Thanksgiving, y'all. We didn't even mention that at the top of the show. Everyone's eating their turkey yeah. dinner, and I totally forgot my mandatory gobble gobble, y'all. Someone's having a great Thanksgiving.
This better be playing gravy. On their table.
What's that?
Like with the family, you know, like they better be playing this on their iPhone forever.
Oh man, would I see? That's what I would spend money for at an auction: a Thanksgiving dinner at Tim Cook's house. We would have to do a cult cast Kickstarter for that, so that we could go. We could all go. I don't think it would matter how much money we spent. I don't think he'd let us come.
No.
I think we're probably on the Apple blacklist.
Didn't he offer dinner with somebody?
What?
As a prize or something? He offered to go out for dinner with somebody,
yeah,
right?
Coffee. Yeah, cup 30 minutes of coffee.
Yeah.
Isn't like that the one ever happened to that?
I can't remember who bought it.
It was like, no reports, was there?
Yeah, it was like $500,000 for like
yeah.
30.
Yeah.
And who was though? I mean, they never said, did they?
No.
I thought they did say it was some CEO from a company.
It was great advertising for whoever won it, right? Because everyone was always looking to see who was ahead.
Yeah, it was Scott Forstall, I think.
It was who? Scott Forstall?
Can I get my job back?
Please take me back.
I was going to make a joke about begging, but I'm not going to.
Well, you say it was great advertising, but we're all here going, yeah, who was that?
Touche. Yeah. Touche, Ken.
Who got it? Yeah.
We have no idea. But we were looking at it a lot. We talked about it a lot on our show as they were bidding, but I wonder how many of those top bids were actually legitimate. We'll never know.
Mm, yeah.
Speaking of blacklist, you guys, let's talk about a big story that was rotating through the blogosphere this week, and that is Apple's hypothetical, I mean, we think it's real, their blacklist they use to, some say, control the press and influence what people are willing to say publicly about Apple. Leander, let me start with you. I think, you weren't on the MacBreak Weekly show where they talked about this, but you've been an Apple journalist forever. Do you think there actually is an Apple blacklist?
Yeah, and I'm on it.
You think you're on? Do you know you're on it? Or do you think you're on it?
Well, you know, I mean, a blacklist is a colorful way of saying that there are certain, you know, they have certain outlets they will not, they don't generally collaborate with. Mm-hmm. They don't collaborate with anybody. I mean, he's really talking about who gets invites to the Apple product presentation events, mm-hmm. and you know,
who has their emails answered,
is it a blacklist or a whitelist? You know, there are certain publications they will invite. Like, they just started inviting Apple Insider.
Really?
Apple Insider was on the, you know, quote-unquote blacklist for a long time. But now they're starting to get invites. And it's because they like, one of their writers there.
Yeah.
So you think that because they like one of the writers...
Did I get cut off?
No. We hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello? Oh, hey, I can hear you. I think it's the headphones. A blacklist is just a colorful way, I think, of saying that, you know, that they play favorites. And this, I think, is non-controversial. They've done this for years.
Yeah, I think all companies do this. They kind of select who they want to work with.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
As far as press is concerned.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they definitely do. But I think a lot of journalists sort of take it personally. You know, like, I used to get invited to all the Apple events, and I went to every single one for 10 mm-hmm. years. When I worked for Wired.com, mm-hmm. the minute I left Wired.com, that, you know, even though I had a popular Apple blog, I was no longer invited.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of the ones who complain about the most are sort of the specialist Apple-centric publications.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're the, almost the last people that Apple will invite because
they'll cover
they already have that audience. That,
yeah.
They're looking after they're looking for the general, you know, large scale, general publications. You know, the horizontal pubs like the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
You know, and USA Today. Yeah.
And Leander, I think you're a rare example of them, like somebody that was on the whitelist moving to another publication and actually being taken off it. Because I think if you follow, at least like it, from what I've seen, if you follow like a journalists that are on the whitelist, if you follow them through their career and if they like say hop sites or something, they actually still go. And so all of a sudden a site that wasn't invited before is now going because somebody that was on the whitelist
Great.
Now.
Thanks, Leander.
Yeah,
you ruined it.
Thanks for pointing that out, Alex.
No, I'm just, it's not, I mean, it's not a knock or anything. It's just, that's just interesting. And it's probably like you said, because you became a very Apple special focused.
Well, I think I'm going to offer an observation. I think Leander, you know, Steve didn't like the term Cult of Mac. So that initially got blacklisted. And then when you went out as independent, you know, you were, I don't want to say unbiased, but, you know, pro and con, you know, an uncritical, an honest look at Apple. And not all sites give honest looks.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I think that there are some sites that can be relied on to be very pro-Apple, very rah-rah, and never mention any of the stuff that could be that's critical of the company, which we certainly do. So, yeah, and the name Cult of Mac doesn't do us any favors either.
I think Apple's perfect in every way. I just want to make that clear. Leander's opinions don't necessarily represent those of us who are on the show. I think Apple's a perfect company. And I think a live stream cult cast from one of those events would be a lot of fun and informative for the masses. So I just want to put
That's how Leo Laporte got kicked out of Apple events.
Well, didn't he? Yeah, he live streamed it from his laptop, right?
He live streamed like the first iPad event or something, but he didn't even live stream it inside. He live streamed it outside the building, like in.
I saw a picture of him with his laptop open, and he was live streaming it from one of the actual keynotes.
Was he okay? He was in.
He was inside the building with his laptop open, pointed at the stage.
I want to say Apple's cameras at the event actually picked him up doing that.
Yes, that was the picture I saw, Ken.
Right. So.
that should have been the image for Elgin's piece. Was a screenshot of that. That's great.
Forgive me. I was just looking online to remind me. Now, this is a special case, but didn't Dan Lyons actually sort of openly end up on the outs with Apple because of the whole fake Steve thing and then also getting a little...
Better than anybody.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened in his case. He was at Newsweek, you know, which is definitely one of the top tier publications, you know, that Apple dealt with. It can also sort of depend on, like, if you're friends with somebody in the PR department, you know, certain PR people will return my emails and get back to me if I have questions and stuff like that, but then, you know, others won't, so.
I would love if somebody could ever get a hold of an ex Apple PR person and have them dish on how they work. I think that would be so interesting for like somebody that used to be on the team or like recently left. I mean, they probably never will because they're NDA'd to the ceiling. But like if somebody could ever get somebody to say off the record, you know, just how it works behind the scenes, I think that would be interesting. I'm sure it's unlike most companies.
Yeah, you're right. You probably. If they're still alive, you'll probably never hear from them.
Exactly. I think they all completely die in a plane crash.
I mean, have you guys ever seen The Firm? I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, they have a really small team. I know that for their size. It's abnormally small.
Well, you guys, we have a whole lot of show left. We're going to be talking about the Johnny Ive book winners. Also, Adam, you are here to talk about Trash to Treasure, how Vintage Max are making new money, and that was a featured piece on the last issue of Cult of Mac magazine, right?
Yes.
So that's going to be great, but before we do that, and we're also going to do a Thanksgiving edition Faves and Rays. I want to tell you guys more about lynda.com. Has anyone here used lynda.com?
I know people that use it.
Okay. I have used it. And as I mentioned, it's lynda.com/cultcast. Lynda.com is one of the premier places to learn stuff. And if you are trying to learn any application, they have over 2,000 video courses. I mean, covering everything, every application you could possibly imagine, different topics. I have personally used it to learn how to use Lightroom. As many of you know, I'm an avid photography enthusiast, and I have a DSLR, and I process all my images in Lightroom. When I decided that I wanted to learn how to use Lightroom better, I went to lynda.com and I watched their Lightroom video because they are so in-depth. I mean, whether you're a beginner or an advanced user, there's so much in these videos you can really learn a lot because they're taught by industry-leading experts, very, very well produced. And when I came out of that video course, it took me probably about 6 weeks to go through the whole thing. You watch it at your own pace. All the videos are broken down by segments, so they're very easy to digest. And you just kind of go through it, and by the end, you have learned so much. So when Lynda approached us and were asking about sponsorship, I was really super excited because I think for our listeners especially, I know we have a lot of males out there. We have a few moms, soccer moms out there, which we appreciate. And a lot of you guys that listen, and ladies, like to learn stuff. You're always asking us about photography tips and that type of thing. So I really encourage you to head over to lynda.com/cultcast because they're giving you a 7-day free trial. And you can, in that time, watch any of the videos you want. You have complete, full access to absolutely everything. And just go watch videos. Learn some stuff. Maybe you're going to be going on vacation. You want to learn how to do better vacation photography. They have a course on that. Maybe you want to, you know, brush up on your, I don't know, Adobe Illustrator skills because you're a graphic designer. They have courses on that. Head on over there, check it out. And also, I just want to say thanks to Lynda for supporting this episode of the Cultcast. Super excited to have them aboard. What a great, great service, guys. Truly, you should go check it out. lynda.com/cultcast. Leander,
mm-hmm.
You still there? Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, so I had tuned out, but
okay, no, as expected. I hadn't said your name in at least 2 minutes, so I knew you were probably playing a game or something. We're gonna give away some Johnny Ive books, and while I pull up this list of the winners, you had a major party in San Francisco, and I know you had some help from some sponsors who helped you put the event together. And do you want to give them a shout real quick? And
yes, please. Yeah, I'd like to, you know, say my sincere thanks to mm-hmm. the sponsors who mm-hmm. Were able to, for, you know, without them, we would never put on the party. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to thank OWC, Other World Computing, Simpler Film, Code Weavers, Oloclip, Moshi, and Explori.
Oh, yeah, all sorts of major sponsors there.
Yeah, yeah, they're awesome, and they've all got really good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They put some stuff in the bags to give away to the journalists, and you know, I've been playing around with these things. Explori is an app that allows you to do photos and videos to make mm-hmm. Stories. That looks really cool. Moshi makes like some really nice accessories for iPhones and iPads. So does Oloclip. They have that awesome 3-in-1.
Oh, everybody lens. Knows Oloclip. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Simpler Film, they made that great book trailer for me. It's like Hollywood production values on a budget, and they do movies and trailers for book and app makers.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely worth checking out. They're really doing well. And OWC, you know, they do all the hot rod stuff, you know, for Macs, so that you can stick things like an SSD drive into your MacBook, and they've been doing really well too.
They have great products as well. I use some of them.
Right.
Cool. Well, thanks for all those sponsors. And without further ado, the winners of a signed copy of Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products. I almost messed it up. Products that are the greatest.
I guess buttocks, yeah.
Between the buttocks of, okay, let's stop that right there. Blacklist, guys. So the first winner, George Gleed, congratulations. He said, I should get a copy of Leander's new book for all the hard work that I put into putting Cultcast and all the devices in the Apple Store. Thank you, George. We have got Stephen Hamblet, and he said, I would love a copy because I own Samsung, and we need to know what we're building next. George Hamlet. We got Serena McDonough. I'm going to have to look for this one. Let's see here. Serena. There you are. Because ice cream, hello, anytime a Mac starts up nearby. Congratulations, Serena. And please yell that as loudly as you feel comfortable. We've got Wesley Verkamen, who has been listening forever. I know a lot of you guys have. And I would read his comment, but it's like three paragraphs. So congratulations, Wesley. You win. And last and not least, this might be my favorite one, actually. This is coming from George Elias. And he says, I just got married. I don't have many joys in my life anymore. This could be one of them. Yes, George. You shall have the joy of a Cheetos dust-covered copy.
Yeah, he's going to love it when his wife grabs it and whacks him over the head with it.
Isn't it like 4,000 pages? She should probably try that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it makes for a good weapon, blunt force trauma weapon. So congratulations to everyone who won. We will be contacting you on Facebook to get your address and all your information so we can get you a signed book. It's a cool prize, Leander. I mean, these people are really excited. I would be too. I don't even have a signed copy.
It's better because I keep misspelling my name on every single one. So it's like, you know, those stamps, you know, each one is unique with a unique misspelling of my name.
Of Leander's own name. Hopefully he won't misspell yours, but no promises. Well,
I never write these days, you know, like I haven't picked up a pen in years. So
I was just saying that, you know, on Twitter. Like, yeah. How often do you actually get to write something?
Yeah, never. So it's like watching a chimp with a stick. It's embarrassing.
So your book will have your name, hopefully legible, and then a short note, which you probably will not be able to read. But I promise you it's something lovely. Anyway, let's continue on. Adam.
Yes.
Tell me about Vintage Max. I saw this cover for Cultimac magazine. First of all, the cover was fantastic. Leander, the new graphic that you guys put on that cover was really awesome.
Yeah. Craig's work is getting better and better.
Yeah, he really is making great covers. And Adam, you wrote a piece, Trash to Treasure, How Vintage Macs Are Making New Money. Did you write that headline?
Well, that was the cover of the whole issue.
Gotcha, but not of yours.
I wrote one of the articles and had a couple other, you know, was interviewed in another one. Mm-hmm. I think that they covered that headline was probably written by Nicole.
Yeah, it's a great headline. Hit
yeah, it's a really good headline. So tell us, Adam, because I thought most Macs these days, my friend has a Next computer and he bought it for nothing. I mean, it's not worth anything. But you're saying that some of these vintage Macs are actually worth a lot of money.
The vast majority of them are, you know, keep your day job.
Okay.
But for a small number of them, they've become very valuable. Mm-hmm. The Next, which actually isn't an Apple product but is a Steve Jobs product, mm-hmm. that's a typical story. 10 years ago, you couldn't give them away. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, people are seeking them out. Certainly Steve Jobs' death had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I think it really what started this whole trend of these really starting to make money was the Apple Ones a few years ago. Because mm-hmm. the Apple Ones did like 15,000 and then 50,000 and then it topped 100,000, you know, and then 300,000.
You mean at like various auctions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then one hit $671,000 earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And until the new Mac Pro just sold, that was the previous record holder, right?
That's correct. In fact, this Mac Pro, you know, unintentionally or what have you, became the world's most expensive desktop computer.
Wow.
Replacing the Apple One, which is kind of ironic. You know, Apple's literally newest product replaces its literally oldest product in that category.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So tell us if you wanted to get your hands on one of these things, like, I mean, would you go to like a pawn shop? Like, how are people finding these things?
The way I found a lot of mine, probably the two main sources. One, of course, is eBay, because you can find everything on eBay. Mm-hmm. The problem with eBay is people know they're getting valuable. You know, you have people who are professional sellers and they want to milk it for more than it's actually worth. Mm-hmm. Craigslist is the other good thing. Especially Craigslist. I mean, you can pretty much, if you're in a big city area, so certainly here in Boston, New York, San Francisco, you know, any major metropolitan area, there's tons of ads for Apple stuff, many of them free. One key thing is that I found is if people don't know exactly what they have, those often are the best. You know, I have an Apple product, they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go over there and it turns out to be an original 128K Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a pretty valuable one.
You can't count on that. That one's worth about $1,000.
Okay, that's pretty good.
From, yeah, take it off my hands a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
So I would say most Macs, there are very few Macs that are worth more than $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
In the box, if you have the packaging and if it's in mint condition, yes. And some of them with bundles and stuff. The Apple Ones, yes. The Apple Twos, you know, prototypes, things like that. Very few are going in the multiple, thousands or tens of thousands range. But again, these were things that had literally no value 10 years ago. So the market has really, you know, picked up in terms of if someone has something they're going to toss out, don't throw it away. It could be worth at least, you know, several hundred bucks, could be worth $1,000. You know, it depends what you have, but they another reason that they shouldn't go into landfills.
Is there a good way to figure out if you have an old computer, if you have an old Mac, is there a good way to figure out how much it's worth?
You know, the single most popular article on my blog for the Vintage Mac Museum is called "How Much Is My Old Mac Worth?"
Mm-hmm.
It gets more hits than everything else combined.
Uh-huh.
And the short answer is there isn't an easy way to do it. But what I do is I use those two. So I go to eBay and I check completed listings, not what people are asking, but check completed listings, see what's, you know, sold for a few weeks, do the same on Craigslist. And there's a couple of people online that maintain some databases. Actually, link one from the article on my site that I just found out about. But the best way is completed listings on eBay.
And that actually, that tip is a great tip. That works for everything. Just make sure you check the completed listings auctions so you can see what people actually bought and not just what things are listed for. Adam, does the packaging make a big difference? I used to sell vintage Super Nintendo games in college. It's actually how I put myself through college. And I know sometimes like a cartridge would sell for $20, but if you had the packaging, I mean, the sky was the limit on some of these games. Are there a lot of Macs out there that still have like all the original packaging and stuff? And does that vastly increase the value?
It does. It definitely increases the value. I'd say there aren't a lot that have the original packaging because most people, you know, you toss it as soon as you get it or a little bit later. It can, I'd say for a good system, it'll double the value.
Mm-hmm.
So an original Mac 128K working, you know, in good condition, the floppy drive works, is probably worth $1,000 or so. If you had the box and it was in good condition with all that Picasso artwork, you could get $2,000 for it.
Wow.
The color ones, you remember in Apple's early years, it was all colored graphics on the boxes. They're just prettier, so they're worth more than sort of later years when they went to their black and white phase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking the boxes now, if you want to put stuff in your attic, because they have a lot of beautiful boxes now. You know, so if you stick it up in someone's attic for 20 years, maybe the box you're about to throw out.
Start holding that cardboard, guys. Yeah.
I'm already there. I save the boxes for everything. I mean, I don't get rid of any retail boxes. Yes.
I toss it immediately. Even before I get home, I just toss it out the window on the way back.
The street?
Yeah.
How many bike messengers have you hit so far? Do you aim for them?
Oh, yeah. I know there's piles of it on the side of the road. I mean, Adam's right. It's beautiful packaging. It's really nicely done. But, I just can't keep it. You know, I've had enough junk in my life. Who wants to keep boxes?
Well, I don't want to keep boxes. But, you know, when you go to sell stuff later on, the boxes increase the value.
Right. Well, what Adam's saying is a good condition box is worth $1,000.
For that model, not for any particular model.
But Adam, you're not talking about just the box, are you?
No, the empty box wouldn't be worth $1,000.
Okay, but well, it might still be worth money.
I did a story on Wired. There was one that sold for $500 a few years ago.
Just the box?
Just the box, the empty box.
I believe that. I have a friend.
I knew I shouldn't have paid that much.
You got ripped.
You got a half price.
Yeah.
Well, the hard thing about the boxes is, you know, unlike the computers, it takes a really long time before the box affects the value. So it does now with the Macs that are, you know, 25, close to 30 years old. In that time, you have to keep it, move it to different places. It gets damaged, it gets mold, you know, it gets torn and all that. So there aren't that many left, but it is decades before it makes a difference. Once that time arrives, you know, like you watch the shows on TV that the American Pickers are porn stars. You're like, wow, Harley Davidson equipment in the box. How rare, you know.
That would be rare. So
if you really hang on to it for a long time. That's the thing about collectibles is it's not a short-term profit.
Yeah.
Well, I would venture to say that.
Sorry, the first iPhone bag. You know, the first iPhone, it came in a special bag.
Yep.
And people were spending a lot of money for those right after they went on sale, and I've still got that. That's the one thing I am keeping.
That's what I was going to say, Leander, is, yeah, if anybody has, like, the original iPhone packaging mint condition with the original iPhone in it, I bet in 10 years that's going to be worth quite a bit.
Yeah. That's probably a good one.
Adam, one more question. Do a lot of these old Macs function still? I hear stories a lot of them are inoperational. It seems like they would continue working, you know, as long as they didn't get damaged.
I would say more old Macs still function than most other products of equivalent age, mm-hmm. you know, most other computers. What tends to go is capacitors tend to go, power supplies, stuff like that, usually repairable stuff. But if it's been well taken care of, it's, you know, not at all unlikely that you take your 512K or plus or what have you out of the box, turn it in, it chimes, it boots right up, you know, and you can use it for a little while. If they're working, certainly they're worth more if they're working. Ironically, the parts are worth more than the whole. So I could buy a Mac Plus for $100. If I bought an equivalent amount of parts for the Mac Plus, it could be 2 to 3 times that to put one together.
Interesting.
So if you have a lot of time in your hands, you can sell the parts out on eBay. If you want to keep them, like what I do for my collection, if you want to keep them working, you kind of need to have 2 or 3 of each so you have spare parts or be really good with repair.
And your significant other is really going to love that.
Yes. And, you know, Nicole's giving me a hard time about that because I'm single, so half my house is filled with computers. I don't have to – that argument I don't have to place.
I think the bottom line here truly is, especially now that it's kind of the holiday season, is be nice to that crazy hoarding uncle that we all have that has a house filled with routers from like the 80s and stuff, because when he finally goes kaput – they're going to root through his house, and they're going to find all this Apple equipment that's going to make you rich.
Trash to treasure.
That kind of seems to be the bottom line here for everyone.
We were just – Apple stuff certainly, and I think more than other brands in general, but I was just talking to some people about a computer museum here in the Boston area and saying for a long time people didn't think that these would be worth anything. Should we save old computers? What would they be useful for? Who would care? You know, now it's hitting the point where, like car collecting went through and other things, there is a use for it and it's important to keep them. And the few that are left, you know, the more time goes by, the more they become very valuable.
I think it's also a sign of just how massively famous the Apple brand has become, and even more so Steve Jobs and now Johnny Ive, that people just want to own these things as just kind of relics of history. I would love to have an old Mac sitting in my house just as a prop, even if it didn't work.
That's easy to get.
Are those
pretty
cheap? I
still don't understand the people. You know, I'm not going to pay $671,000 for an Apple One you can't do anything with unless I know I can, you know, double, triple my money in a few years.
Yeah. But I wouldn't mind having a Lisa sitting somewhere. That'd be pretty cool.
Lisas aren't cheap. Lisas go for $1,500 and up, depending on the configuration.
Jeez. Really?
Yeah, the Lisa's rare. The Lisa 1 is if you have a Lisa 1, which is the one with the Twiggy drives, that's $15,000 to $20,000 machine.
Whoa. All right. Time to set up the eBay automated search.
We need to do a new reality show History Channel.
Someone dumped a Next machine and some Next monitors out in the street. This is a few years ago. And I went home to get my truck to go pick them up. By the time I got back, they were already gone.
That would be a kind of a cool thing just to have in your house.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's awesome. You mentioned, did you say you had a website that talks about old historic computers, Adam? Did I mishear you?
I have, yes. No, for my collection, which I call the Vintage Mac Museum.
Uh-huh.
I have a website, vintagemacmuseum.com. And there's a blog part of that, which is a small fraction of what we do, of course, on Cult of Mac. But
And then probably tons of photos and stuff too, right? Lots of photos.
Yeah, there's photos of my collection. There's photos and some history, you know, of the Mac and how Apple got from there to here. And then there's an article on the blog site. Is that article of how much is my old Mac worth?
Cool. Well, if you guys are interested in reading more, definitely go check that out. I thought, guys, since it's Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., we could celebrate the end of the episode with an all-new Thanksgiving edition, Faves and Raves, the segment where we pitch our favorite Thanksgiving food and then let our voters vote, let our listeners vote, on which ones they'd rather eat. So here's how this will work. I'll set the scene for you. Let's pitch one food each, and there has to be a single item. So if you could only eat one Thanksgiving food this holiday, which one would it be? You don't get to combine. Like, if you like mashed potatoes, you don't get the gravy. Actually, those two things kind of go together, huh? So just one single item, and mashed potatoes and gravy together is fine. And then we'll just do a roundabout. Everyone can pick. And then if people want to vote on which one they'd rather eat, head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, and all of the delicious foods will be there for you to vote on. And Ken, I thought maybe we could start with you, because at the beginning of the show, you kind of sounded like you thought you were going to lose.
Well, forgive me, I misunderstood ahead of time. I didn't realize it was just supposed to be a simple one.
Is yours like, have like lots of ingredients? Like, how does that?
No. Okay. It's two ingredients. It's a wonton wrapper and stuffing, because that's it. My, now wife and I, last Thanksgiving decided we wanted to do something kind of different. So we took, wonton wrappers and put cornbread stuffing in them and steamed them in the steamer for like 10 or 15 minutes or however long you do that. I don't remember. It was just kind of a different way to, that's what we're having this year.
That's weird. It's like a burrito.
Huh? I was thinking it's like an egg roll.
Not like a burrito. It's more like an egg roll. It's like a dumpling. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's goofy. Sure. But, it's different. And I seem to remember liking it, although I will be honest, I was also enjoying old fashions at the time. She told me the other day we didn't really like those as much as I remember. Yeah, everything's better with bourbon.
Okay. Buster, if you could only have one food this Thanksgiving, of which we'd find the remnants in your beard, I'm sure, afterwards, what would that food be?
I guess pumpkin pie. Is that okay? Does that count?
Yeah, sure. So if you could only eat one, that would be it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Thanksgiving right there is pumpkin pie or pumpkin stuffs, you know?
Pumpkin stuffs. Okay. I'm writing these down, by the way. So you've got pumpkin pie, Buster. And you guys can pick the same ones if you want. I'm not going to be that choosy. Leander, what about you? Because I think yours is going to be not standard.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to win, but Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts?
What?
I could eat Brussels. I could just eat nothing but Brussels sprouts. Just give me a plate of Brussels sprouts. I'll eat that.
You're right.
Kids much hate you.
Well, you know, the funny thing is my one son loves them.
Really? So, I mean, I do too, but if I had to choose?
Yeah, I know. He'll eat them all before I even get to him. He eats them out of the pan.
Wow. You're right. Well, you're not going to lose, or you're not going to win, but that is an interesting one. Alex, I have a feeling yours is going to be filled with rich meats.
No. I was going to say turducken, but I think probably I just love stuffing and gravy, man.
Oh, that is good, isn't it?
Good old fattening stuffing with some thick gravy on it. That's all I need.
Ooh. I'm getting
so excited.
That's
how we do it in the South.
Adam.
Well, I was going to cast my vote for the same thing Buster did for pumpkin pie, but I had a two-part answer. So since he took the pumpkin pie, my second part was you also have to have the wine that goes with it.
So this
pumpkin
Thanksgiving,
pie with
you're...
copious amounts of wine. Well, that's as he said. That's all you really need.
So you're just gonna have the wine, okay?
Well, I'll take this pumpkin pie also.
Don't forget the paper bag. A side of paper bag. Is it gonna be red or white, Adam?
For me, it's red.
Okay, red wine. Fair enough. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm the only one that's gonna just choose turkey. And not just any part of the turkey, specifically the wang, turkey wang, as Alex would call it. I love
the wang the best.
Oh, the turkey wangs, delicious. They're crunchy and they have all that delicious.
I thought you literally meant the wang.
Yeah, me
I was
too.
Confused
me too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
I was like, is that a euphemism for the neck?
No, sorry. The part that has the part that the bird uses to try to fly. Turkey yeah. wangs, y'all. No,
okay, so it's not like you can only eat male turkey.
No. I'm an equal opportunity turkey eater.
I think you found an episode title, by the way.
Yes, specifically the wing, although I can see why you guys thought I was not talking about the wings. I was putting a very bad southern drawl on the turkey wang. Oh, so delicious.
A real draw on that would be more like wang, not wang. It'd be like, give me one of them turkey wangs.
See? You like the wang, too. Oh.
There's your title.
Yeah, I'm not joking. If there was one wing left and I had, like, my grandma next to me and she reached for it, I would push her over to get to it. I would be like, grandma, give me that wang. Push her. Oh, so delicious. That's what I'm going to be going for.
Do you like the innards of the turkey? Like, do you like turkey liver and the heart?
No, no, no. I don't like organ meats. Though you might think I like the organ meats, I don't.
It's like when people eat the placenta, right? It's just like, it's supposed to be good for you.
I'm sure it's probably delicious. So is the turkey brain, but I'm not going to be eating on that either. Alrighty, guys. Well, we'll make sure that we put all those on our Facebook page so you can vote. Let us know which one's best. We should probably go ahead and wrap it up there. I want to thank you, Ken, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Always lovely having you on. Thanks for coming back. And Adam, we'll have to have you back on as well. I'm surprised that we've never had you on. And I also want people to let me know if they think that you're not Downtown Joe Brown's voice twin.
I'd be happy to go to come back, and this is another sort of entertaining corner of the site.
Yes, it is. Thank you. We have fun here. We definitely like to have fun, sometimes too much fun. And if people wanted to follow you, Adam, on Twitter, where would they go to do that?
To follow me on Twitter, that would be tough. I don't really use Twitter that much.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Maybe they could send you a letter to the Mac History Museum.
You can just adam@cultofmac.com.
Send them a nice email. And Ken,
you want to send an email saying why the hell aren't you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, exactly. That would actually be good. Get you back on there. And Ken, you are Mac OS Ken, right?
Yes, Mac OS Ken on Twitter.
Great. And if you'd like to follow the rest of us, Leander is L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I am at Airfon, ERFON. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I think that's everybody, right?
Yeah.
And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. Congratulations to all of our Jony Ive book winners. Thank you, everyone, for entering. I hope everyone has a safe Thanksgiving Day. And we will be back next week with an all-new episode of the CultCast. Thanks for listening. Gobble, gobble, y'all! Gobble, gobble, y'all! I'm almost positive that actually happens at his house. When he's delivering the turkey to like all the waiting guests, he's like, gobble, gobble, y'all. Everyone gets all excited. He's like, who wants one of these wangs? Blacklisted. I just officially got blacklisted.